You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Back in on the drive, someone on the text line just got blocked. I normally only block people if you're homophobic or racist, or if you just have such an egregious opinion that we can't move forward. C-Dot, I generally agree with you, but Coming to America is far from the greatest comedy. I just watched it last week. It's okay. What?
Fire!
Yo, come on now. That's not the kind of opinions we're going to be disseminating on the text line. Coming to America's okay. No, Coming to America is the greatest comedy ever made. It is an amazing movie. Today's pop quiz was Beverly Hills Cop. It was released in 1984. Young Brad Fanning was, how old were you when that was?
I was 14.
You were 14.
Yeah, yeah.
Your first date was probably going to see Beverly Hills Cop.
No, my first date might have been sixth grade.
First date I ever went on, I went to go see Barbershop 2.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Jay Giles Band down at Kemper Arena. That was one of my first dates.
Speck, what was your first date?
Speck never had any dates.
Yeah, he actually has never been on one. Speck's about to get married and still never been on a date before.
That's because, how does that work?
I don't know. It's amazing.
Mail order Russia type thing.
It is amazing. We got the Arrowhead Pride Roundtable. We got Joel Thorman. We got Pete Sweeney. In studio, how you guys doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Great week. Great week to be a Chiefs fan.
It's been amazing.
This has been maybe the worst week to be a Chiefs fan since the Forward Progress. Let me ask you this. Was this a good or bad week for you guys on the website?
Bad overall, because I don't think anybody wants to be talking about this. And it's been like, it's so weird because you have like the lowest of the low with the Kareem Hunt stuff. And then you look at the actual team and like it's never been better. So it was a really weird situation where you're kind of like floating back and forth between like something great and something bad.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of attention that the team is getting right now. I think these type of situations are so sensitive that it can get ugly, you know, and I think that's what we wanted to avoid at Arrowhead Pride. So we were careful with what we posted and so on and so forth. It's just such a sensitive situation. You don't want to get into a deep end where you can't come back, and we were careful about that.
I don't know about you guys, but I getting ready to watch that game on Sunday, I was just kind of in a funk because of it, if that makes any sense, you know? I just didn't have the normal juice, you know, leading up to a Chiefs game on Sunday, and I was keeping an eye on Twitter. I didn't feel like people were overly engaged when it came to that game, and I think a lot of it had to do with the news that happened on Friday.
And I mean, like, when it comes to actual games, like, I like the actual games because I feel everything else, like, kind of zones out and, like, you're just, like, focusing on this one thing and then the second it ends, you're like, oh, like, everybody's going to be talking about this, you know, again. So I like the actual, like, 3 hours where you can kind of, like, forget about that because it's something you're looking forward to, like, all week long.
I want to ask you guys this question when it comes to it because I asked this earlier and no one thought anything of it. Traditionally, the teams we believe in most in January are teams that can play defense and run the ball. The Chiefs just lost their starting running back. Now it's running back by committee. I like Spencer Ware. Guy's never rushed 4,000 yards in his career. I think when he had the opportunity to be the number one back, at least prove that he was not a number one traditional running back, and now it's going to be running back by committee. If we look at the other teams we would consider true contenders in the AFC, all of them have better running games now than the Kansas City Chiefs. All of them have better defenses now than the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you think that's something, or do you think that this passing attack is so strong that it can cover up the fact of not having Kareem Hunt the rest of the season?
I think the passing attack's going to cover up a lot of stuff. I'd be more worried about the defense than the running game. Like, on the list of worries about the Chiefs, like, the running game, like, just doesn't hit my top five. So it'd be the defense that I'd be worried about the most. And, you know, it's kind of like new ground for a lot of Chiefs fans. Like, you know, being able to go out and put up that many points and finally having one of those, like, elite quarterbacks. It's always the Chiefs and their team facing that elite quarterback, and that's where you feel that you're at a disadvantage. So this year's going to be, you know, different because you feel like, hey, my guy's as good as yours going into this thing.
I agree. The Chiefs can score. I think they can score whether they run the football or not, and I understand that typically in recent years and years in the NFL playoffs, you need to run the football, and I think the Chiefs definitely do. I don't think they can win without running the football, but it doesn't need to be the thing or the primary way that they're going to score. My biggest worry when the Chiefs comes to the playoffs is these are the top teams. You get in one of these shootouts and the defense can't come up with a stop when they need to, and the Chiefs don't have the ball last. I think that's how you're going to get eliminated from the postseason.
I'm with you on that too, Pete, because we all going into this thing, oh, the Chiefs get a shootout, they're in great shape. They've been in two of them against two teams that we think are potential Super Bowl contenders, and they lost them both. Now, granted, both were on the road, but I'm with you. The other thing, and I wanted to bounce this off you guys, I'm curious if what we have in this offensive line and how much Kareem Hunt made them look better than they really are. And maybe they are that good. Maybe that offensive line is that good, and maybe they're the reason that Kareem had – but he was so good at breaking tackles, doing all this stuff. Do you think the offensive line could potentially get a little bit exposed because no Kareem now?
I mean, I don't know if it's less about
– exposed might be a strong word.
It's not as much about Kareem. I mean, like, if you go back and look at the sack numbers, like, Mahomes has been taking more sacks in the last, you know, 6 or 7 weeks than he has in, like, the first, you know, 6 or 7 games.
Yeah.
So I do think that, you know, he is getting, you know, hit a little bit more. I kind of like Sharkandrick West in that one specific role as, mm-hmm. like, that passing down back and being able to pass block a little bit. So, like, I don't know if you're missing a ton when it comes to that specific role.
I think Kareem Hunt had a dynamic aspect to him that these other running backs don't have.
Totally.
And Kareem Hunt was making Kareem Hunt look good. I don't necessarily think it had anything to do with the offensive line. I think it's going to be a little bit of a different rushing attack now that you're dealing with Spencer Ware and Damian Williams and then Darrell Williams and Sharkandrick West, however it works out. And once that is in place, once the scheme and the offensive line now has a week to prepare for that, it's going to look a lot better on Sunday than at the emergency at the last final hour, Spencer Ware jumping into what is Kareem Hunt's usual game plan. They're not the same running back.
Yeah.
And that's why, at least for me, when we talk about like changing it, I don't deny the Chiefs' ability to overcome a running back injury. Like, that's the one position on the field I think you can overcome, even though I think Kareem Hunt is really good. I think if we're like ranking big plays the Chiefs have had this season, man, one of them was the long touchdown catch against the Patriots by Kareem Hunt on the sideline. When you guys remember, Chiefs looked dead in the water, no energy. That game was very easily, it could have gone a blowout for the New England Patriots. Kareem Hunt makes the play, and that really shifted the momentum. It gave the Chiefs the juice to get back in that game. Do we think Spencer Ware can make that play? Do we think Damian Williams makes that play or Darrell Williams? Like, to me, those are the kind of things that you are now removing from this offense. Like, all the big-time plays downfield can't just come from Tyreek Hill. They have to come from someone else on this team, and Kareem was somebody that could make a big play downfield.
It's a little bit of a question, and I know exactly what you're saying, and I think it has a lot to do with, can Spencer really truly tap back into 2016 Spencer Ware? Because at the end of 2016, I understand he had a major injury. He was good, and I think Chiefs fans were comfortable headed into 2017. It didn't work out for him. Kareem got the shot, and then the rest is history. But if Spencer Ware can tap back in, I like I said, he's not Kareem Hunt. He's never going to be Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is a rare talent, and for unfortunate reasons, he can no longer be a Kansas City Chief. But if Spencer Ware can do just enough, similar to how I felt about the defense earlier this year, I think the Chiefs are all right.
I mean, even if you take away Kareem Hunt, I'd still put up Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins against any other team's top three playmakers. I think you are missing something that Kareem's not going to be there, some explosiveness. But it's not like they don't have like the playmakers there to respond to it.
I said this yesterday. I mean, if I have to pick one of the Chiefs' offensive weapons to not have, he would be the guy. And yeah, Somebody's going to bring up Sammy Watkins. But you know what I'm saying. Of the top four guys, and Mahomes is in that group, obviously. Hill, Kelce, Mahomes, and Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's the one I think you can live without more than any of it.
Because they're both, yeah, running backs are the most replaceable. And I think when you go the drop-off from, Tyreek Hill to Garrett Dieter is obviously a lot bigger than it is.
There's a little bit of drop-off there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, than from Kareem to Spencer Ware.
I want to play this cut from you. This is from Therese Paylor on Monday when we talk about replacements or guys that could fill in for Kareem Hunt. Therese threw out the name Le'Veon Bell.
But I think in the offseason, they're going to have to address this. And I had a column on this today. You know, I think Le'Veon Bell is a player who, like, fits. Like Andy Reid.
Man, we lost show.
Andy Reid would have a field day with Le'Veon Bell. By the way, the only thing Le'Veon doesn't give you that that Kareem does is, like, Kareem's got, like, that breakaway kind of juice. Like, Lev's not going to get it, but, like, pass blocking, patience, zone run, he could be really good here. But the problem is, I don't think that's the way that they want to build this team. They're going to have a lot of money right now, about $44 million. That's not including what happens if you get Justin Houston. But you got to make a decision on D Ford. That's a franchise tag. Might be about $15 million, $16 million. You're going to have to extend either Chris Jones or Ty Hill, right? So this is a lot of money that immediately, boom, you're gone. You add in the $6, $7 million you're going to need for the draft to sign your draft class, you know, you still have some money. But whatever money you've got left is probably going to go toward improving the league's 31st-ranked defense. So it's highly unlikely.
I just want to bring this up. I think we all agree the Chiefs are not getting Le'Veon Bell. I like the mindset from it because it is a very much a Los Angeles Rams blueprint.
It's almost a Sammy Watkins mindset. Like, you remember last year when they brought on Sammy Watkins, you're thinking, like, they've already got these good receivers, they've got a good offense, they need to focus on the defense, but the Chiefs were like, screw it, let's go get the league's best offense. So, like, that's like that the 1% chance I can see of I can see it happening is through that mindset.
I actually don't – I mean, I think it should be higher than 1%. Like, last year, any NFL fan was sitting there looking at the Rams like, how are they making all this work? How can you trade for Marcus Peters? How can you go get Aqib Talib? How can you sign Ndamukong Suh? How can you pay Todd Gurley? How can you pay Brandon Cooks? How can you pay Aaron Donald and still fit everybody under the cap? I would certainly love to have that conversation in July about the Chiefs. Man, how did you find a way to make all these things happen and still improve your team? So if the mindset is, let's go sign Le'Veon Bell for 3 years and let's just backload the hell out of that deal and let's try to take advantage of Mahomes' rookie contract, I got no issues with that.
I just don't see it happening. I don't know how you could spend cap space on the running back position anymore. Remember, Kareem Hunt.
Petey's an offensive weapon. He's not
just
a
playmaker. He's the new Dexter McCluster.
That's another reason why they're not going to do it.
They got Kareem Hunt in the third round. Philip Lindsay, who's one of the better backs in the league, is undrafted. You don't have to spend high draft capital at all or capital in general, a cap space on the running back position. I just don't think it's a good strategy as you're trying to build this thing for the future, whether you backload it or not.
I think going after Le'Veon Bell would not be necessarily about the future. It would be, this is our window, like this year.
I'm talking
and,
about
like,
spending that money when you have... Mahomes is going to be here. I understand he's going to cost a lot more eventually, but you're still building for the future. It's not like these 3 years are going to end and you're like, well, Mahomes' rookie contract is over. We're just going to enjoy him and not try to win the Super Bowl. You got to think of those years, too.
I mean, and Le'Veon Bell, I mean, Todd Gurley makes over $14 million a year. Le'Veon Bell wants to be paid more than that.
So, yeah, I don't see him getting into a bidding war. But also, I mean, you never know which way that thing's going to go. Like, he's, you know, talking about being worth $18 million a year, but what if nobody wants to pay that price next year and it comes down quite a bit more?
I mean, the other part of that, though, too, is people complain about paying Sammy Watkins all that money. They should have sunk it on the defense, and now all of a sudden we want Le'Veon Bell at $18 million a year for how many years?
Hey, if the Chiefs go into Foxborough or the Patriots come here and they lose 43-40 again, like, my mind might be changed a little bit on this. I still don't see there's any realistic way of it happening, but I could see how you start to think about it.
That is Joel Thorman and Pete Sweeney with Arrowhead Pride. We'll keep our round table going. We talked about the offense. Yes, we have to talk about their defense. They gave up 33 points to Derek Carr, Jordy Nelson, and Doug Martin on Sunday. It's the Drive. Back in on the Drive, Joel here, Pete here. It is the Arrowhead Pride Roundtable. Fanny here and Speck Bayless. This is his last week with us. He is getting a promotion. He is crossing over to the corporate side of things. So we talked about the offense.
They must not have heard his takes on the show.
No, they definitely didn't hear that.
Did they ever ask why they call you Speck Bayless?
Yeah. Did that come up in the
interview
process?
No one mentioned anything?
No, apparently not.
We'll talk about Eric Berry just a bit. We'll talk about Sammy Watkins and somehow holding a guy who's top five at his position paid in the NFL has turned me into public enemy number one when it comes to him. Just, hey, you know what? If we could get a little bit more production from you, given the fact that you get paid more money than Julio Jones this season, has turned me into a Sammy Watkins hater. We could talk about that in just a bit.
I come here for your Sam Watkins takes. Every week.
I agree with him.
It's like a hitter. Like, God, I can't believe he's not hitting more. Well, he's had 7 at-bats. I mean, that's kind of the way with Sammy.
He struck
Watkins
out in all 7.
Well, we
can have that conversation now. I find it so crazy that Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, but we're blaming Patrick Mahomes for why Sammy Watkins isn't good this year.
No, I'm blaming the offense. They've targeted Theo Riddick more than they've targeted Sammy Watkins this year. Like, they're not making him a part of the offense, and you're mad that he doesn't have more catches.
Why does this happen? This isn't the first place this has happened in, though. This happened in L.A. This has happened in Buffalo, and it's the same thing here. Yet there's no one wants to talk about, like, oh, his production, like, isn't up there when he's making so much money.
I kind of feel like it reminds me of, like, the last, like, year and a half with Alex Smith. Like, whenever Alex Smith would win, it was like, see, told you he's a winner. And then whenever the Chiefs would lose, it'd be like, I mean, come on, look at the offensive line. I mean, look at Andy Reid and the play call. Like, at some point, we just got to have an honest conversation about it. I'm not saying Sammy Watkins is a complete bum or that he has no value. I'm just saying is for 2.5 years, Sammy Watkins has been valued like he's a legitimate top-end wide receiver in the NFL, and he's done nothing from a production standpoint to justify it.
My theory, and it's a little insane, and I get it, he's got a cool name. And he used to have the dreads that popped out. He had a cool look. And I just, Sammy Watkins, if his name was, let's say Bob Robinson or something like that, normal, I don't think he'd be as popular. I honestly don't. I don't think he would be getting out. Sammy Watkins is just like a cool name.
I actually don't think that's it. I think it's because he got drafted really high. I think if Sammy Watkins was a third round pick, I feel like the perception would be, oh man, you know, year one and year two were flukes. You were in the right situation. You've gone on. And now look what's happened. I think the fact of, I mean, if you get drafted in the top 10, people just, they coming in, they thought you were a really good player. You proved it your first two seasons. Now, since then, it's like, man, well, I saw him do it before. I saw him do it at Clemson. I saw him do it early in Buffalo. That's what I think it is more than anything.
You'd be surprised at just the defenders and social media of this guy. And it's crazy. And I look at it and I just look at what you could have done with the money saved there. But again, that makes me, like you, I get all the heat about it.
Do you think he's a bad receiver?
No.
Or do you think he's a good receiver?
Yes.
Me too.
I think he's an overrated player. I think he is I think he's a fine player.
Is that by no fault of Sammy's at all? Because it's not like it's Kelvin Benjamin who just got cut, who's been targeted 75 times and had like 32
catches.
He's
bad. Kelvin Benjamin.
You know what
bad.
I'm saying? Like he got a lot of targets, couldn't catch the football. That's not Sammy Watkins.
Life isn't fantasy football, but this is a fantasy football comparison. It's like having two better receivers to put in your fantasy football team and then trading something for a third that's going to sit on your bench. Like, to me, I don't know what, I just don't know why the move was made.
All that happens is what happens in January. If he shows up in January, like,
yeah,
we've moved past the point where the regular season matters as much anymore. You're 10-2. If he shows up and balls out in January, like, I don't think we're going to remember as much about this. And I go back to, like, when they first signed Sammy Watkins, it came off of that playoff loss where Travis Kelce got hurt, and they said, we're not going to. They probably thought, like, we're not going to be without one of our top playmakers again, so they added an extra one.
Here, let me throw this conspiracy theory at you guys, because I said it yesterday, and I got some eye rolls around here. All right.
You?
Yeah, believe it or not. Hunt's first incident was in January. His second incident was in February, and they signed Sammy Watkins in March. And I additionally reported yesterday there's a couple other incidents that haven't been reported yet involving Kareem Hunt in Kansas City. Could that have played a factor in it? That there's a chance that I think we're going to lose a really dynamic player. We think Sammy Watkins can be that guy.
I don't know. They didn't take any precautions to suggest that they might lose Kareem Hunt. So,
I mean, they were bringing running backs.
They had
in.
Nine running backs in a camp, an abnormal number of running backs when you think about it.
Yeah.
I just don't see that at all. I feel like if they thought it was a larger risk, they would have made more preparations for that. But really, what really matters is the top two in the depth chart. They had Spencer Ware, they had Kareem Hunt, so.
Spencer Ware going into camp, though, for what it's worth, and to be fair, they weren't even sure if he was going to come back. He wasn't even practicing fully at the beginning of training camp. Mm-hmm. They had to see it first to know, and that was kind of the thought process at the time of bringing in all these running backs, and they ended up keeping Ware after restructuring his contract, which I believe you had details on at the time.
Yeah, on the Spencer Ware deal. I would say, though, when you, Joel, something you said earlier, though, because, I mean, what's going to happen is same thing that happened against the Patriots. Sammy Watkins is going to have two catches for 18 yards, and then we're going to spin it like he was this great decoy in the game, and that's why Tyreek Hill was really good in the game. I just feel like for Sammy Watkins, the rules change every single week from week to week. So, like, if he doesn't play, it's like, oh, man, this time they only scored 34 points. Oh, man, it was this struggle against it. Then if he doesn't get a lot of catches, if he doesn't have a big day, he was this great decoy, and that's why Kelce and Hill had good days. Like, come on now. Like, every week there's a new qualification to try to justify Sammy Watkins' terrible contract.
No, I think you're right that so far this season it's been a bad signing. Certainly looks that way. But I think that the most important part is to come. And if he shows up in January, if he makes a difference, then it's all going to be worth it. Because I think they signed him for that.
Yeah, I mean, I
And nobody knew Patrick Mahomes was going to throw for 5,000 yards without Sammy Watkins being involved.
And I think part of it, too, is they wanted to insulate. They knew with Mahomes, they had in Tyreek making no money, and Mahomes really right now as a quarterback in the NFL making no money, they could afford to do it. I mean, Tyreek makes a little over 600 grand or something crazy like that, so you can pay that. Nobody thought, I mean, Sammy's getting paid like a number one wide receiver, but you knew when he came here, he wasn't going to be the number one guy. He was going to be third or fourth.
There is an aspect to it, and you have to name it, if you're being fair again to the signing, of what Watkins' presence does for the attention to Hill and Kelsey, which is what a lot of people sell it on. That being said, you have to consider Carrington's point of you're getting paid this amount of money. You should at least have an expectation of reaching this amount of production.
Well, yeah. Then why don't they throw it to him more then? I mean, I know he's missed the last two games because of a foot injury. He can't catch.
Let's get Pat in here and ask him.
I would love that. I mean, is that more Andy or is that more Pat? I know there's a lot of options.
How do we know it's not Sammy Watkins, though? All I'm asking is, when it comes to Sammy Watkins, you can't catch
passes that aren't thrown to you.
I just don't know how it's the quarterback's fault that's throwing 5,000 yards and having the greatest year.
I don't know whose fault it is.
Where Harris is having a good year, Conley's having a good year, Hill's having a good year, Kelsey's having a good year. The only person who's disappointing this year is Sammy Watkins, but that's Mahomes. That's Andy Reid's fault. No, the same thing happened last year with the Rams. Gurley had a good year.
Robert Woods had a good year.
Cooper Kupp had a good year. The only person who didn't have a good year is Sammy Watkins. Like,
but he had a ton of touchdowns.
He's the common denominator. But he had 600 yards receiving last year. Like, Sammy Watkins is just average. Like, I don't know why we treat him anything else. He has to prove it to me that he's better than that.
It's his name.
No, it's not.
I genuinely think it's where he got drafted. I think if he got drafted in the third round, we would treat Sammy Watkins completely differently. But he played at a major university. He got drafted really, really high, so he'll always get the benefit of the doubt. We will actually talk about the defense this time. Their defense, they have way more problems than Sammy Watkins. We'll talk about that coming up as the drive. The practice report just came out for your Kansas City Chiefs. Eric Berry was listed as a limited participant in practice today. Does not sound good if at least we are trending in the direction of him playing on Sunday. Obviously, still two more days of practice. If he is not a full participant by Sunday, he is not playing in the game, in my opinion.
By Friday, excuse me.
Yeah. I believe it. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of done like reading into exactly what's going to happen with Eric Berry,
The first day of practice, I think, as we get towards the middle and the end of the season, it's a little bit of a wash because it's one of these like limited practices, 10, yeah. 10, 10. So the day to really watch when it comes to full practices tomorrow and Friday. If you get a full practice in one of those days, especially I think if it's Friday, he's probably going to go, I think.
Carrington and I both think he'll probably play a handful of snaps. 15, 20 snaps, whatever it is.
Who wins the pool if he goes this weekend?
I don't know. Who does win the pool? Because I think Carrington does because I have this Charger game.
I had that he was going to practice the Wednesday after the bye week. I don't think we really set a game practice.
My game was the Charger game because I was going on the assumption that playing a full game, being ready to go, being a starting safety, blah, 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 blah. And I didn't think he'd be fully ready to go until the Thursday night game because I thought it would be stupid to have him play two games in, 4 days?
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. I didn't think that'd be a smart way to handle him. So I had the Charger game, the Thursday night game, which is, a week from tomorrow? Yeah.
Are you guys worried about the defense?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I asked because there was a 2-3 week run in Kansas City. Well, I think people were trying to sell you on the defense, but they were playing teams. There was no way to evaluate if they were better defensively.
Holding the Cardinals to 14 points.
Yeah, it was Case Keenum, Baker Mayfield, and Josh Rosen. And there became, to me, this sentiment, and you guys saw it on your website, man, Chiefs defense is really improving. Chiefs defense is getting better. I don't really feel like it's that much better. If they get pressure on the quarterback, I'll give them that. That's about the only thing they do really, really well. They don't limit the run very well. They don't stop the pass very well. They're not a great turnover, take the football away kind of team. I think their defense is still bad.
In one of those weird sport things, it's funny because you have Patrick Mahomes winning Offensive Player of the Month for the first month, and then the last two, you have Dee Ford and Chris Jones. So you have the individual play, which is good. Like, Dee Ford and Chris Jones, mm-hmm. I think, are two better defensive players than the National Football League. But this, as a unit, scares you for the postseason because it can be over in a flash if your defense doesn't show up.
Yeah, especially, look at everything through the prism of the playoffs and the best teams you're facing. Yeah, you give up 54 to the Rams and 43 to the Patriots. Like, that seems problematic because there ain't going to be any Josh Rosens in the divisional round.
Easy on that Rams game, though, because 21 of those came off turnovers from the offense.
I think it was 33.
Yeah, so basically, and that's where Carrington and I differ on this a lot. Like, I don't blame the defense for that loss against the Rams. I mean, I think this defense isn't great by any means, and I don't think it's – I think on its best day, it's maybe good. On its best day, but it's on the low end of good. So the Rams one, I cut them a little bit of slack on that. The Raider game, to me, that's the one where I'm just like, man, I thought we were going in a little bit different direction.
Right.
You've done a really good job against some teams that weren't near as good as you. Yeah, the Rams lit you up, but all those points weren't necessarily on you. You caused turnovers. You caused havoc. You scored defensive touchdown. But the Raider game is the one that, to me, is the hard one to explain when it comes to the defense.
I don't think you learn a ton about the defense this weekend. Going against whether it's Lamar Jackson or Flacco, that Charger game. If Barry has his legs under him and he's back, like that's the first game where I'm going to be like, and the Seahawks game after that, like,
yeah,
you can start to kind of figure out like, okay, like, are you just going to have to deal with, in the playoffs, it's going to be a 45-40 game, or is there any actually like real, actual like difference makers here?
If there's any saving grace, the Chiefs are getting one of the best players back at their worst position right now, which is the safety position.
But we don't really know what we're getting out of that though, either, Pete.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. I'm just telling you that's the situation that's happening.
It can't be worse than Eric Murray. I know that much.
Yeah.
It would be very difficult for Eric Berry to return and be worse than Eric Murray.
I agree. There's almost no way. Like, I'm sorry to say.
Pete, I disagree with you a little bit when you say we can't learn anything from this team defensively. The Ravens can run the football. If this team can show up and they keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket and he doesn't run wild on them and they can limit this team to 120 yards rushing, I would consider that a good day for this team defensively.
See, this game, I think a lot of people might be overlooking this game. I'm worried about Lamar Jackson.
I agree.
Because if you look at the fast running backs that have really dominated the Chiefs, the Chiefs can't keep up when it comes to a talented running back.
Yeah.
The Ravens really have it's like a two-man running back system almost. Like, how you think the Chiefs are going to be able to stop these guys, and then you're dealing with the best defense in the league. Not to say that good defenses have stopped Patrick Mahomes, but he might be more limited as to how much they score this weekend.
Yeah.
Just all the, like, makings of this weird upset towards the end of the season that'll make Thursday night way more interesting.
This is one of those games where I think the Chiefs offense that they don't have that floor that some of the other offenses did, that it's just so much higher. I just cannot see the Ravens coming in and giving the Chiefs a ton of trouble. I think you can sell out to stop Lamar Jackson. I think they'll do that. I think they'll contain him a decent amount, probably bust off a big one at some point. But it's tough for me to see Lamar Jackson coming in with 140 yards passing and beating the Chiefs.
Reggie Ragland may not even be active for this game. You can't play Reggie Ragland in this game.
You almost can't. And they
this is a Dorian O'Daniel type of game, don't you think?
They've set that trend in these games where they, with the Rams, they play Dorian O'Daniel, I think Reggie Ragland at 8 snaps.
Yeah.
And the thing that's scary, too, about the Ravens is that not only is Lamar Jackson apparently talented, there just isn't a ton of tape on him. There's not a lot of game for you to watch at the NFL level and say, this is how you stop Lamar Jackson. Really, no one has yet. So that's scary.
Pete, I'm with you, and I'm picking the Chiefs to win. I just want that for full disclosure of, if we talk about a team that would have the ingredients to really muddy up the game and make it difficult against the Chiefs, wouldn't it be the Ravens? A team that would be committed to running the football. Like Jacksonville, I remember at the beginning of the season, back when we thought Jacksonville was a good team, we thought with TJ Yeldon and that defense, they could do it. And then for some reason, they thought Blake Bortles could throw the football, and then they ended up trying to get in a shootout with the Chiefs, and it didn't work. The Ravens would run the ball 35 times. The Ravens can play good defense. If there's a team that can hold this offense to 31 points, 28 points, it would be the Ravens, and then just given what we've seen from the Chiefs' defense, that's how you beat them.
It's the Ravens getting out of the first quarter. If the Chiefs somehow can manage to make this a 14-0, 21-0 game, then I think it changes, because now you're playing the Chiefs' game. Ravens start with the ball and score a touchdown, all of a sudden it's 7-0, and they can play their game, which is like clock possession and running the football, like you were saying, 35 times. It's going to be a lot more interesting on Sunday.
Yeah, they're going to run it, man. I mean, on average, about 18 times a game they pass it with Lamar Jackson. And so you better be ready to stop the run. I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to if you're the Ravens or if you're the Chiefs.
Feels like they're going to be one dimensional, and it's like the same point I go back to every game. If you can't put up 30 points, you can't beat the Chiefs, and I don't think they can.
We were debating this earlier. I actually got this from you guys today. Mahomes realistically has a chance to have the greatest season a quarterback's ever had in the history of the NFL. Like, how mind-blowing is that? Like, I remember at the beginning of the season, I was like, maybe he'll throw for like 25 touchdown passes. He'll have like 12 interceptions. But at the end of the season, we'll be like, man, that was a really good building block to his career. He has a Hall of Fame building block for the first 13 games of his NFL career. Like, he's been incredible so far.
And Carrington, you and I, pulling the curtain back, just turned 30. When you're 23, you think you're old. 23, you're a baby. Like, if this is how he is that he's 23, how is he going to be when he's 26 years old, when he's 28? You know, this is insane.
I just don't even know how you get better. Like, realistically, I don't know how you get better from having the best quarterback season in the history of the
NFL. Is he ever going to have this many weapons, though? I mean, realistically, like, probably not. So I think that helps a little bit. He will get better.
Anybody but Sammy Watkins, and maybe he probably increases.
Yeah, that's true.
Sammy.
It is kind of crazy to go back to, like, the start of the season, and you thought he would be decent, but, like, nobody thought he would have this kind of season. I remember sitting in here, like, probably week 3, week 4, and he was on pace for
748
like 50-something touchdowns, and I was like, you know, even if Mahomes falls off, you know, I think him getting 40 touchdowns is, like, what to expect right now. And Carrington's like, 40 touchdowns is a lot, and, like, now he'll get there in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I remember when everybody was, like, 30 touchdown passes, and I was like, that means he will have the most in his first season as a starter in the history of the NFL. Like, that's just not realistic to think. Yeah, he got to 30 by week 9 of the NFL season.
How did all of us not collectively go to Vegas and bet 20 the over on 24? That is just such a bad read.
Yeah,
we were
talking like 25 and 12 is what we were kind of thinking.
Just shows you how surprising it is that he's this good. Although maybe the Chiefs saw it. Signing Sam Watkins.
Lewis Riddick certainly saw it.
God, he's not just going to throw that in there, man. Just see, my biggest. Never, I lost my train of thought.
I was going to say, I don't think that Vegas knew what passing was going to be this year. Like, I bet if we went back and we looked at everybody's over-under when it came to passing touchdowns, everybody hit over this year when it came to offense. Right. Like, just the league, I think Vegas and our perception of it, nobody knew that this was going to be the year of the passer. I was, like, randomly looking at this today when I was looking at, like, how close he was.
But on Mahomes in particular, they were just grossly under.
I remember what I was going to say now. So we were talking about this having the greatest year before you guys got on, like the greatest statistical year of any quarterback in the history. I think as a Chiefs fan, I don't care because I just want wins in January. That's really all I care about now to this point.
I didn't suffer through Steve Bono to not care about Patrick Mahomes.
Fair enough, but I'm the opposite on that. I'm glad. I feel like we're going to have Mahomes forever, but he's not going to get paid nothing forever. He's not going to have all these guys forever. Tomorrow's guaranteed to no one. So I'm like, great, neat, awesome. We got a nice little pelt on the wall that Mahomes had the greatest statistical year ever. We got bounced in the first round at Arrowhead, having a first round bye and a number one seed. I want wins in January. I don't care if he throws 7 touchdown passes over the course of the season.
I didn't spend all last year arguing that Alex Smith's 15 touchdown passes were actually good to not appreciate Patrick Mahomes this year. I am absolutely going to remember this year as just this incredible, like, magical season.
Fair enough. I want
no matter how it ends.
The key is just get these playoffs at Arrowhead, man. You don't want to go to Foxborough, and you don't even want to go down to Houston if they start to get in the mix here.
Yeah.
That is Pete Sweeney and Joel Thorman from Arrowhead Pride. It is our Arrowhead Pride Roundtable. Always good catching up with you guys. Thanks a lot for coming in today.
See you soon.
Love it here.
Later, dudes.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form
the Shutdown Fullcast.
Voltron!
I keep telling you, we're not Voltron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears and video games.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts or coaches making terrible decisions or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.